All right. It is my goal to not fall off the trailer today. So if that doesn't happen, we're going to call this a success. What an amazing turnout. Hey, are you guys having a great day? I need you to make some noise. Woo! Praise God, just to make sure that you're there. So wonderful to see you. Oh, hang on, I got to grab this. Can't forget this as we get started here. Church in the Park, Baptism Sunday. Well, friends, we are gathered here today to celebrate. There are a number of people, 12 people signed up. Hopefully all 12 show up to make one of the biggest steps we can make on our journey of faith, the step of baptism. But, you know, I was thinking about this week, and I thought to myself, you know, here in small town Wyoming, even if you haven't been to church in 20, 30 years, you kind of know what baptism is about. It has something to do with becoming a Christian or a Bible thumper or whatever term you use to describe us. But I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know, what if someone from another country, another culture, another religious background, what if they were visiting here, the States, and they're walking through the park, and they're walking by, and all of a sudden they see two grown men standing in the creek dunking each other. And not only that, but after they're all covered, all wet, they're like hugging and smiling. I mean, you look at that, you're like, what on earth is going on? This is weird. Why would people do that? I mean, I understand, you know, boys, when they go to the swimming pool, naturally, they start dunking one another. But they don't celebrate it afterward. They don't have a picnic and invite their friends. Like, so what's this all about? And today, I want to clarify, what is baptism? And why would we want to get baptized? Well, baptism is a transliterated word, meaning it's one of those words we use all the time that's not actually English. Kind of like ballet or salsa or karate or kindergarten. So baptize, it's actually a Greek word, baptizo, and it means this. It means to fully immerse, to submerge, or to dunk underwater. So from now on, I am calling John the Baptist, John the Dunker. Which kind of sounds like he's got a promising future in the NBA, but baptizo was used to describe a sinking ship as it submerged beneath the waves, or of fabric soaking in dye. So let me see if I can explain this. So here, who here today loves pickles? Does anyone love pickles? Okay, now I need someone to make some noise. Who really, really loves pickles? Yeah, okay. Okay, I need someone stand up if you really, really love pickles. You're okay. All right, you're the first. All right, come on up. So this is a brand new jar of pickles. I'm going to give you this jar, but first I'm going to tell you a little story, okay? Because I don't love cucumbers. In my opinion, the only good cucumber is a pickle. But I'm going to tell you the story. 2,000 years ago, there was this Greek poet and physician named Nicander. And of all the things he wrote, one of the things he wrote was a recipe for making pickles. And in that recipe, in the ancient Greek, he says, first what you do is you take that cucumber and you bapto, you dip it in boiling water, and then you baptizo, you fully immerse it in that vinegar brine, and afterward, it is changed, and it is something so much better. It is a pickle. So here you go. Here's some baptized cucumbers. So there you go. Thank you. Big round of applause. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to save them cucumbers. Now, if you want to know what is baptism, you turn to the Bible. The very first time you see that word baptism show up in the Bible is in the book of Matthew chapter 3. And so let me read it for you. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Verse 5, people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So whatever baptism is, clearly it has something to do with confessing I'm a sinner, with repenting from that sinful life. Scripture is painfully clear that 100% of everybody, including every single one of us in the park today, we have all fallen into sin. Meaning we have all done wrong things. We've lied. We've cheated. We've taken or wanted to take things that don't belong to us. We've hated. We've struggled with greed and pride and lust and envy. Every single one of us, we have things in our story that we regret. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death." You see, God is completely and totally good. He is radiantly holy. He is perfectly righteous, which means our sinfulness separates us from our Maker. Romans 6, we just read, says the wages of sin is death. Think about this. Wages are what you earn. It's what you're owed. You go to your boss and you say, "I deserve this." Because of sin, we deserve death. Okay, so back in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist, he's there, and I imagine his arms are getting tired because he's just baptizing person after person, thousands of people, all the villages and the cities, they're all being emptied out. You can imagine a crowd so much bigger than this one, just thousands of people standing there at the Jordan River getting baptized, and as he's baptizing, he stops and he turns and he looks, and there's Jesus. And Jesus says, "John, I want you to baptize me." And John tries to talk him out of it. He's like, "Hang on, Jesus. I shouldn't have to explain this to you. I feel kind of silly, but you don't need to be baptized. You don't got sin you need to confess. You don't need to get right with God. What are you doing? You should be baptizing me." And yet, Jesus made that decision. So the reason why everyone else was being baptized, okay, full confession. I'm trying not to look at my notes, and I jumped ahead a half a page in my notes. This is what I do in Church of the Park, so I'm going to back up in the story. Okay, back up in the story. So people are coming to Jesus, or coming to John to be baptized, and the reason why they're coming to John, unlike Jesus, who did not have a sin problem, they had a sin problem. And they wanted the stain of that sin to be washed away. But I want you to notice there in Matthew chapter 3, as they went to be baptized, they did not do so in secret. These people were not baptized in a tub in a dark basement with one close friend. They went down to the river amongst those huge crowds, thousands of people, and they said, "Here I am, I'm surrendering all of myself. No turning back." So if you got one of those song booklets, on the back of the booklet, there is a notes page, and I've listed out five things that baptism is. And here's the first thing. Baptism is a public confession, boldly declaring our faith in Christ. Baptism, what is baptism? Baptism is a public declaration. It is boldly and courageously shouting to the world, "I believe in Jesus, he is my Savior, and from this day forward, I am going to follow after him. And I don't care who knows, I don't care who sees, I don't care who hears about it, write about it in the newspaper, take the video and post it online. I want you to tell the whole world, I belong to Jesus." Now, if someone were to come up to you and ask the question, "Okay, how do I know that I'm saved, that I'm right with God, that I get to be in his kingdom in heaven someday? But tell me in just one Bible verse." I only have time for one Bible verse. What Bible verse would you use? Well, a good option would be Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans 10, 9 says this, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." That's so good, I'm going to say it again. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and then believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will guaranteed be saved. In other words, we are saved by faith. Guys, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot do enough good things that we finally earn it. And so we've got to put our trust in Jesus. And put our trust in what he did for us on the cross. But you know, friends, when faith is just something internal, we might start to wonder, do I really believe this stuff? Do I really have faith, or is this just like a passing thought? You know, is this something just kind of bouncing around in my brain? Because there's a lot of thoughts bouncing around in there, and I don't believe all the things going on in there. Well, friends, there is something about that public declaration that solidifies our faith. It makes it more real. It strengthens our resolve. It clarifies our decision, and it holds us accountable. Okay, so the second point I've got there on the notes page, what is baptism? Baptism is an outward sign of a profound spiritual reality. Baptism acts out physically what has already happened to you spiritually. Now, it would be nice if there was, at least for as a pastor, I think it would be nice if there was like a visible a reminder, a visible marker that you have become a follower of Jesus. Almost like after you gave your life to Christ, you got a little halo that appeared, you know, bing! It would be really nice as a preacher man, because on Sunday, I could just look through the crowd. You're okay. You're fine. You're okay. You! I'm talking to you, buddy. But that doesn't happen, right? Because faith is not visible. So baptism is a visible sign and symbol of what happens to us in salvation. And this is so, so beautifully described in Romans chapter 6, which is printed on the back of your booklets. So if you want to follow along, you can feel free to follow along as I read Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Guys, becoming a follower of Jesus does not mean my life is exactly the same as it was before. I talk the same. I act the same. I think the same. I do all the same things. No, it's not just that I, you know, am the same person, but I get to go to heaven when I die. No, following in Jesus involves a kind of death. It means I am done with that old life of sin and selfishness. I am born again. I am a new creation. Verse 3, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized, get this, into his death. We were therefore buried with him. If you have a pen, you can circle that word buried. We were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised, circle that word raised, raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Notice what baptism is tied to: death, burial, and resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection. It's a little bit morbid to think about, but this is why I prefer baptism by immersion. Now, you can't always do that, and that's okay, but I prefer to do baptism by immersion because it just kind of acts out what we saw in Romans chapter 6, the symbolism here. And so when you're baptized, you are laid down into the water. Just like someday we're all going to die, like it or not, we're all going to face death, and there will be a day when we are laid down into a grave hidden beneath the earth. And it's a pretty good metaphor of death, because you know what? You can't breathe underwater. And if we held you down, it would be more than metaphorical. There are many cops in the audience. I want to clarify, that was a joke. A bad joke, but it was a joke. No, we're going to hold you down just for a second in the water, but then we're going to raise you back up again. And coming up out of the water is symbolic that we have been born again. We spiritually have a new life. And just as Jesus was raised up out of the grave, so also someday we will be raised to life with him, to be with him forever and ever in his kingdom. Verse 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Okay, now, go back to Matthew chapter 3 again, when everyone's being baptized, and John turns and sees Jesus, and he's like, you need to baptize me. And he tries to talk him out of it. Jesus, I can't baptize you. You need to baptize me. But eventually he gives up. He relents. I mean, it's Jesus. You can't argue with him for that long. And so he baptizes him there in the water. And he does so not only as an example to follow, but to lead the way. Jesus went first and made the way. Jesus went first and made the way. He crossed over from death to life. And just as in the Old Testament, God miraculously parted the Red Sea, remember that, so that Moses and God's people could cross over, they could escape Egypt and slavery and death, and they could cross through those waters to life, to the promised land, so also Jesus made a way through those waters. He died for our sin. That sin was paid for. He was buried in the grave, but then he rose again. And Colossians says he is the firstborn from among the dead. He led the way. And so in our baptism, we show that we are in Christ, that we are uniting with him in that way of salvation, death, burial, resurrection. Verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Guys, baptism is not cheap grace. It's not saying a quick prayer that you only half-heartedly agree with so that you can have your eternal fire insurance. Baptism is dying to myself. From this day forward, my life belongs to him. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. When we are baptized, we are participating in the life, in the person of Jesus. And if you keep reading there in Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus went into those waters of baptism, it says, as he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And there was a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son." So also, my friends, when we are in Christ, when we receive that gift of grace by faith, we become children of God. And we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which makes us brand new. Number 3, if in your notes, baptism solidifies our new identity in the body of Christ. I am a new person. I am a new creation. That old life, that old self of guilt and shame and regret, he is gone. He is dead. He is buried. Have the funeral. I'm not that person anymore. Today, I am a child of the one true King. Today, I belong. I have a family. I have a purpose. I have a hope. I have a future. I have a brand new identity. Whenever I teach baptism class, I like to tell it like this. So imagine that I left here today and I drove 6 hours down to Denver and I got in an airplane. I flew to New York and then I flew another 16 hours to South Africa. And then I got in a Jeep and I drove for 5 days deep into the jungle. And there we find this kind of isolated tribe that's living in mud huts and they don't speak English. They have a different culture. They have a different color skin from me. But I'm trying to communicate with this guy through a translator. And through the translator, I find out that they have found a missionary and this guy was baptized. I would stop everything and I'd say, hang on, I was baptized. And suddenly we give each other a huge hug because we are brothers. I've never met him. I'll never see him again. Totally different culture, totally different language on the other side of the world. But we are family because we've got Jesus in common. Baptism gives us that whole new identity. Okay, if you're following along in your notes, the fourth thing that baptism does, baptism is a significant means of grace helping to facilitate our faith. I just want to make it so clear. Baptism is not magic water that saves you. If you're an unbeliever and you get baptized, you're just a wet unbeliever. We are saved by faith. Romans 1:17 makes it so abundantly clear. It says we have a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. We are righteous. We are made right with God by faith. In fact, did you know that little phrase, by faith, shows up in the book of Romans 12 times? So again, okay, it's like, well, why be baptized? How does baptism fit in? Well, baptism is a means of grace, meaning it is a way, it is a method, it is a path for God's grace and goodness to enter into your heart, your mind, your life. It aids and accelerates and grows our faith. It works with my faith. So you might think of it like this. Okay, so imagine you're out in the ocean and you're drowning, you're treading water, but you know you can't keep treading water forever. You know pretty sooner or later this is going to be the end for you. But all of a sudden you see a life raft. And you're like, I'm saved. Friends, that life raft is the means of our salvation. We are saved by faith. It is the thing which brings us back to God the Father. Baptism, then, is like a paddle. It is like an oar. It helps our faith. It propels our faith. It moves us forward and helps us to grow in our faith. If you look at the story when Jesus is dying on the cross, it says there was a criminal right next to Jesus who says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Notice he calls him Lord, basically saying, be my Lord. And Jesus says to him the words that we all would love to hear, today you're going to be with me in paradise. This terrible criminal, as far as we know, had never done a good thing in his whole life. He was guilty. He was sinful. He had never taken communion. He had never been baptized. He wasn't a member of a church. And yet he heard, today you're going to be with me in my kingdom. A person can be saved without being baptized. We're saved by faith. But listen, if we are going to follow Jesus and what he has called us to do, you ought to be baptized as soon as you possibly can. Because if you read through the New Testament yourself, and I double dog dare you to do so, but when you do, you're going to see baptism is not a suggestion, it's like a command. And so, friends, if you are in this place that you're like, I want to follow Jesus, I want to give my life to Christ, but I've never really been baptized, the question is, what are you waiting for? Why are you putting it off? Finally, number five, last thing. Of what baptism is. Baptism is a lasting reminder on the journey of faith. It is a reminder. I'm going to invite the worship team back up here. We're going to close with one more song. But friends, we all need to be reminded. Because there will be a day when suddenly we are filled with fear and doubt. It's not here yet, but I guarantee there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day that you're not sure, am I really saved? Am I really okay? Do I really believe this stuff? There's going to be a day when God feels distant, when your prayers feel like they're just hitting the ceiling. There's going to be a day when you feel like your faith is frail and feeble, almost as if it is on life support. Friends, when that dark day comes, you can look back and remember who you are and whose you are. You know, you can't really take a picture of the moment that you began to have faith, but you can take a picture of your baptism. And you can look back at that picture and you can remember, oh yeah, I know. That's who I am. I know I made that decision. I know what Jesus did for me. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And I am with him in that. I know I meant it. My old self died and I was made brand new. In the words of Jean Valjean from Les Miserables, my soul belongs to God, I know. I made that bargain long ago. He gave me hope when hope was gone. He gave me strength to journey on. Baptism helps us to never forget who I am in Jesus Christ. Okay, so some of you might be wondering, what's the deal with the suitcase? It's just because I like to make you guess. For 20 minutes and not pay attention to the message. No. The reason I have this suitcase is it's a reminder of some stories that I've heard. I've heard this story from many different speakers and authors in different ways, but one of the stories was by a pastor and author, a guy named Jim Dennison. And years ago, he was serving on a short-term mission trip in East Malaysia. And while he was there, they were going to have a baptism at church that Sunday. And so Sunday morning came, and they all came to church, and they were waiting for the service to start. And the young lady who was going to be baptized came into the service carrying a suitcase. And Jim thought, well, that's weird. What's going on with this? So he went and asked the local pastor. He's like, why has she got a suitcase with her? He says, well, everyone who is baptized in our culture, they're disowned by their family. They get kicked out of their home. It means that their community is going to reject them and revile them. It means they're going to face mockery, sometimes violence, sometimes worse. And so when she showed up that day carrying her suitcase, saying, I'm giving everything to Jesus, man, she meant it. She says, I am giving him all of my life, all of my heart, all of my strength. There is no going back. I'm leaving it all behind, even my own family. I got nothing left, but I got Jesus. And that's all I need. So friends, here's the question. How about you? It could be that you're here today and you've just been weighed down by your past. You feel defined by your past. Maybe there's a pain. Maybe there's a regret. Maybe a shame that you cannot escape. Maybe it's something that you've done or something that was done to you. But it's like a stain that will not come out no matter how hard you scrub. Friends, today could be the day that you are finally washed clean. Today can be the day that you are forgiven, set free, made brand new. It could be that if I asked you, I'd be like, are you a Christian? You'd be like, yeah, I've believed in God my whole life. I've always believed there is a God. In your mind, you would mentally agree, yeah, I think a God probably exists. But listen, there is a difference between believing there is a king and saying he is my king. There's a difference between believing there is a Savior and deciding he is my Savior. Today can be the day that you surrender your pride and get off the throne of your own life, bow down and begin to trust him with all your heart. It could be that you want to follow Jesus, or maybe you've started to follow Jesus a little bit, but honestly, you want to keep it a little hush-hush. You know, don't tell anybody. And I don't know, maybe you feel a little bit embarrassed, or maybe you're worried. What might people say, or what might they, maybe they're going to treat me differently. You're afraid of what expectations might come. But friends, today can be the day that you're like, why am I doing that? I'm going to boldly declare, I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Count me as one of his followers. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to take the heat no matter the cost. I'm giving him everything. I'm giving him all of my heart. I'm giving him all of my mind. I'm giving him all of my soul. I'm giving all of my strength. Burn the ships. There's no going back for me. I'm going to follow after Jesus no matter the cost. Today can be the day when you cross over from death to life, when you declare to the world, I'm his. So friends, let's take a moment. We're going to pray together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the gift of baptism. And Lord, I know there are so many people in this crowd gathered here today, and they can remember that day so beautifully, the day they entered into the waters of baptism. Some of us, it was a year ago. Some of us, it was 50 years ago. Maybe we were a little kid in another town, standing on our tippy toes trying to peek over the baptismal. But Lord, we remember that day. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for this reminder of who we are and whose we are. We are reminded that, Lord, we're still part of your kingdom. We're still in Jesus Christ. We're your child. We have the gift of your Holy Spirit. That old self died, was buried, and I'm brand new. Lord, I pray that you would encourage and assure those who've already made that decision. But Lord, if there's anyone here today and they have not made that decision, but it's time, I pray that, why are they putting it off? Lord, I pray that they would come forward, that they would receive that gift, that they would surrender everything, and not just a quick prayer to make sure I'm okay, no, but to say, I'm going to die to my old life, and I'm giving everything to Jesus. I belong fully, completely to Him. Lord, if there's someone here today that needs to make sure that they're right with You, I pray they would not leave here today until they've made sure they've gotten it right. We love You, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to play one more song. Under this big kind of wide bushy tree, we've got a prayer team. Wave your hands, prayer team. So during the song, as we're all singing together, if you want to go see the prayer team, you just head on over and chat with them. And so you can go see them if maybe you're just things are hard and you're struggling. You need prayer about anything or everything. I just need someone to pray for me. You can come over and they would love to pray with you today. Or maybe today you're like, you know, I believe there is a God, but I've never made Him my God, my King, my Lord. I'm not sure, but I want to know for sure that I am right with God. You can come over and just say that. Just say, hey, I want to know that I'm right with God. And they would love to talk with you about that and pray with you. I'll go it a step further. This is crazy. If you came here today and you were not planning to be baptized, but you're like, I don't know why I've never been baptized. I want to be baptized. We're giving you the pass. Come over and talk to those in the prayer team and say, can I actually be baptized? They'll say yes. And you could be baptized today. And so as the song plays, let's just worship the Lord together. And if you need to go chat with the prayer team for any reason, they're going to be available.